Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Beltway Blitz coming up in moments on Grant and Danny. In 58 minutes, Joe Theismann's on the show to help us sort out the Redskins' quarterback situation. Our NFL power rankings at 12:45 when we give away Nats tickets for one of the final times this season. Coming up on the Blitz, the Nats, but let's start with the Redskins. Chris Russell, you just heard him from the update booth, getting you up to speed on everything going on in sports. Let's double-click on the QBs for a moment, Slashy. If Jay Gruden decides that Case Keenum can't go and he's going to start Colt McCoy on Sunday, not Dwayne Haskins, I didn't think it'll go over with Dan and Bruce.
I don't know how it'll go over with them. I can't imagine very well. I don't think it'll go over very well with the fan base, and I think there'll be a ton of people in the national media that don't really understand the dynamics of the quarterback position, the building, the everything that will just absolutely sandbag Jay Gruden. And I'm sure he already knows that. I don't care. Dwayne Haskins is not ready to go right now based on everything I know, but that being said, I don't know how you go out there with Colt McCoy, who A, you know, can't stay out of the trainer's room, and B, at that point, will have only practiced for, what, two days in a month and a half or whatever it's been?
It would be a stunner, but it would also, in my opinion, be an indictment of what Gruden thinks of Haskins,
yes.
Which I keep coming back to.
Yes.
But doubling down on that a little bit, if he goes to McCoy, that, to me, would mean that Gruden knows his days are numbered. That would be almost like a shot across the bow to Snyder saying,
that's Zorn running the swinging gate despite
right,
the timeout.
It's my team until you tell
me
it's not.
He's been sending these shots across the pond, whatever way you want to describe it, all year long. I mean, the Josh Norman thing at the owner's meeting. I mean, even just the other day, you know, like when he just said, I'm surprised they're picking on Josh. No, he's not. No, he's not. Jay knows what Josh Norman has been and has not been. That's just one example. But, yeah, I mean, this is going to be fascinating. I think Case Keenum will be able to play. I guess I'm curious as to who the backup quarterback will be if Case Keenum can play. Is it McCoy, again, with 2 days of practice, I guess 2.5 days of practice, or is it still the rookie in Dwayne Haskins?
Russell, here's where I'm very upset. And everyone's telling me they're pipe down. This is just how it's done. I don't care about how it's been done other places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The only chance this organization has to be any good for the next 10 years is if Dwayne Haskins is great.
Right.
All I want to hear is about the progress he's making, not about scout team reps or he can learn in the film room from what other guys are doing. It seems to me the biggest issue facing this organization is the disconnect between the coach and the front office. The front office should have told Jay Gruden, you're not going to be judged by wins and losses. You're going to be judged by Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to squeeze out every drop from that toothpaste tube to get one more time brushing his disgusting teeth. I don't know where I'm going with that analogy. The point is the Redskins stink. They're not winning any games. Where's Haskins?
Right.
Where's my Haskins?
But was he ever given that message? I don't think
he was.
I don't think Jay was.
He's being held up as the scapegoat. I don't really have a question about it. I'm just really frustrated that I want more Haskins' close updates.
But he also knows that, again, and he said it himself, they got to make the playoffs, right? So he looks, and I've been talking about this, and I know you guys have. This is the weirdest thing, because normally an offensive-minded head coach, a play caller, who's desperate to win and desperate to save his job, would love the new toy. It's the exact opposite in this case. It has been the exact opposite all along. Now, that being said, Jay can hide behind the convenient reality, and that is Dwayne Haskins just doesn't have a lot of experience and savvy, certainly in the NFL, but even in general in competitive high-level football because of his lack of game-playing experience at Ohio State. So I understand your frustration, Danny. I want him to develop too. The thing that, you know, Grant and I, just from being out there, you know, as many years as we were, understand, once you get into regular season mode, the opportunities are very, 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 very few and far between to develop, especially a quarterback who's not starting for you.
Before we go to the Nats and bring on Sam Fortier in a moment, we haven't even addressed the part of this team that is the reason why they can't win, which is the defense. How is it possible that this defense, which everyone seemed to think was going to be good, maybe top 10, was going to carry the team, has been as bad as it has been?
I mean, I have no answers other than the convenient, again, easy answer, which would be they had a couple of really big injuries that affected them, and probably more than it should have. But when you combine those injuries along with the completely ineffective play of guys like Josh Norman, it's going to lead to some of the problems. And then on top of that, you play two really good offensive opponents and you have no pass. You know, I mean, it's a bunch of different things. Right, which
is
part of the problem.
Because I'm first team all, like, I am the last guy in the world. I don't do the... They're all tarantulas, and they're all Bruins, and everyone is in the league, so they've got heart.
You know somebody that does that?
I don't play that game.
Okay.
I play the talent matters game, okay? Uh-huh. I play the best guy is on the field, and when he gets hurt, the next guy isn't as good, and then after that, I'm a realist.
Right.
You can't lose John Allen, and then we all throw our hands up and go, well, they're going to suck now. Like, one guy can't do that.
No, but it was Quentin Dunbar and Fabian Moreau.
I
understand that, but it was Quentin Dunbar and Fabian Moreau and a hobbled Monte Nicholson and a really bad Josh Norman and a rookie at inside linebacker and a first-round rookie who was expected to make an immediate pass rush impact who didn't. You know, it was a bunch of things. I don't think it's one thing or two things, and that's my argument, and it was last year for this team. It's not usually one thing that they have to fix, one major thing. It's five or six things.
Isn't Moreau and Nicholson and Dunbar, we're talking about fives out of tens, though. It's not like they're losing marquee players.
On this team, they're important.
That's very true. I think you're right about that.
Russell, thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Let's talk some baseball, please, Tommy. Sam Fortier joins. This covers the Nationals for the Washington Post. Sam, how should Davey Martinez balance down the stretch? They're going to play in the wild card game. How should he balance home field advantage versus making sure everything is lined up, guys are healthy, et cetera?
Yeah, I think you have to push for the home field advantage. You obviously, players say that it doesn't make too much of a difference, but you obviously want to stay in your home park and not have to go anywhere, especially if there's a game 163. I think, if things turn out to give them a nice lead, then you coast and you throw, you know, whoever you want Saturday, Sunday. But if home field's still at play, I think you got to go for it.
Sam, the biggest development of the game last night was Sean Doolittle looked like Sean Doolittle again. I was thoroughly impressed sitting there watching him get swings and misses, throwing 95. He was amazing. Should we feel like he could pitch the ninth inning in that playing game if needed?
Yeah, I think you can feel confident in that. Dave Martinez said he looked great. He said he'd been progressing for the last few outings, and this was kind of a crystallization of that. Even the relievers behind him, Daniel Hudson, who's been kind of that eighth, ninth inning matchup guy Davey's been using, he said we need Sean in the ninth inning to get where we want to go. I think you've got to feel confident right now if you're the Nationals, to use Sean Doolittle in that ninth inning.
Sam, obviously the bullpen structure is important. How far they go, even in that wild card game, maybe it's about that bullpen and them just being adequate, I think. But where do we stand just kind of in general? So many guys have been hit or miss, whether it's Suero, whether it's, you know, Hudson's obviously been fine. Doolittle looked great last night. That was a big step coming back. But Rodney, et cetera, where should we feel comfortable, if anywhere?
I think you've got to think, for the wild card game at least, you're going to throw your best pitchers. I mean, we know whoever doesn't start is going to be available, whether that be, you know, Strasburg, Scherzer, and then Corbin as well for lefties. You'll have Doolittle, you'll have Hudson, Rodney, Suero. I think all those guys are available. I don't know if you'll see some of the guys that you usually see in the sixth or fifth inning. But I guess, you know, right now everybody's available, all hands on deck. So you're going to see the best the Nationals got in the wildcard game for sure.
Sam Fortier covers the Nationals for the Washington Post. Cardinals, Brewers, both possibilities. Everyone's acting like they're playing Milwaukee. Like, this is a foregone conclusion. the Brewers might and probably should be expected to catch the Cardinals this weekend. Who should they want to play?
I think you've got to want to play the Brewers. Obviously, the Cardinals, if they get through without having to play 162, you have a stud in Jack Flaherty, who you know is one of the best pitchers in the National League this season. The Brewers don't have anyone like that, and I think the Cardinals lineup is a little deeper. Obviously, the Brewers are without Christian Yelich, and that's a huge load off you if you're a Nationals pitcher. So I got to say, you want to face the Brewers in a one-game playoff.
How close is Max Scherzer to being Max Scherzer? Do you feel like the last couple starts, it's just been a little bit of bad luck with some homers allowed, or do you think that he's still not quite that same dominant guy?
From what we understand, Max Scherzer is Max Scherzer right now. Obviously, the results have not been there, but I think the velocity has. You said he feels good about the way his pitches are coming out. Dave Martinez said, you know, everything has gone according to plan. You know, maybe Brad Miller hitting two runs off him the other night was just bad luck. I you know, we don't really know. But I think Max Scherzer, as far as he's concerned, feels like he's ready to go out and dominate a one-game playoff.
Sam, thank you. Great work in the post. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
You can read Sam's work on their site. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Joe Theismann at 1. Evan Abrams of the Action Network looking at some of the betting lines, including tonight's Eagles-Packers game with us at 1:45. But next, Michael Lombardi just crushed Bruce Allen on the show yesterday. You'll hear some of that. How bad does Allen have to be at his job for the Redskins to move on from him? What has to happen for that to take place finally? G&D on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We don't get many chances to fire up the band anymore, so we take our shots when we can.
Sometimes it's a sarcastic playing of the Redskins fight song.
Thank you, Tommy.
This may be one of those.
The good guys looking for win number one against the Giants in the Meadowlands this weekend. Bruce Allen has his organization at 0-3. He is 59-90. Of course, there's a tie as well, but in games decided, he is 59-90 in his time in Washington. If you add the playoffs, he's 59-92 in games that have been decided with the Redskins. They've won a little more than 35% of the games that he has run the organization for, which is obviously unacceptable. He once said when he took over the Redskins, issued a press release when he fired Jim Zorn immediately, said the status quo is unacceptable.
Huh.
Well, this current status quo is equally or more unacceptable some, get this, almost 10 years later now. What has to happen for Bruce Allen to be out? What has to happen for him to lose his job? He doesn't have his job because he's done well, because that isn't the case. He probably has his job because he's tight with Dan Snyder. Good relationship. Like Vinny Serrato, who was a lifer with the Redskins before they finally moved on for him for the more socially acceptable version of him in Bruce Allen. Similar guy, similar football acumen probably. They both did about the same amount of good for the team now in their times. But what has to happen for Dan to say, look, Bruce, I like hanging with you. I like drinking with you. You're my pal. I like hitting the road with you. I like having you on my yacht in weird countries. But I got to tell you, man, as fun as it is, you're out. What has to happen this year? This was Michael Lombardi on the show yesterday. Realize a couple things about Lombardi. Number one, he's not local. He's not a D.C. guy who's got some axe to grind because the Redskins are bad and that hurts his feelings. This is a national NFL analyst. And more important than anything else, he's worked in a front office with Bruce Allen. He's worked in an organization with Bruce Allen. Now, it's very obvious when you hear him talking, he doesn't like Bruce Allen.
He doesn't care for Bruce Allen. Doesn't
personally or otherwise.
Doesn't
personally or professionally. But he worked with him. He's told us on the show in the past, we didn't even allow him into the office when we were talking about football players. Now, you can ask, why doesn't he like Bruce Allen? I don't know. But I know that he worked with him, and he doesn't think much of him as a football guy. This was Michael Lombardi, former GM, on Grant and Danny yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have his record wrong. It's 59-92-1. Lost two playoff games, the only two that they had. I think you have to – you can't control the game from the GM's chair. I don't care who Dan Snyder decides to hire as a GM. The game has to be run through the head coach's chair. Now, the general manager has to do a great job of supporting the culture, adhering to the culture, and finding players that fit the culture. But you can't have a subcontractor mentality where the head coach has to sit there and listen to the GM tell him what players, draft this guy. I mean, it's just dysfunctional. And as Bill Walsh said to me in 1984, we're really only competing against eight teams. And the Redskins really, under this regime, under Dan Snyder's ownership, are truly one of those teams that Walsh was referring to. They'll never get it straight because they don't understand culture. They don't understand what it takes to build a winning organization. They think it's if we get a quarterback or if we get a better coach. No. You guys can fire Jay Gruden all you want. You can send everybody home today. Nothing's going to change in Washington until they change the culture.
He's right. And good luck arguing with that. But what has to happen for Bruce to be out? So let's tackle that.
So that culture point, by the way, I'm getting around to answer your question. The culture point is what I argued. Forget about Scott McLuhan's draft record. The culture was what mattered to me. It's no coincidence they had their best record over 2 years when the guy in charge helped establish the culture, okay? This culture cannot, will not change as long as those two guys are presiding over all of it. Bruce Allen acts at the behest of Dan Snyder. So there's no metric by which any objective or reasonable person could evaluate Bruce Allen and say, good, you have passed, flying colors, right? When they fill out that evaluation report your superiors have to do for you, when you meet with your boss quarterly or monthly or yearly, whatever it is, there's no passing grade for anything he's in charge of, be it business, be it football, be it anything in between. So therefore, you must be talking about something that's not rational, that's not reasonable. It's going to have to become, for Dan Snyder, the way it was with Vinny Serrato, the only thing he's got left to try something new, quote-unquote.
I think we're there.
They're going to fire Jay Gruden, and Bruce will get to do this again. Then maybe one more. Maybe we're at the end.
But if you fire Jay Gruden, it will not bring fans back. There are fewer fans in the stadium than when
totally.
He got rid of Vinny.
100% right.
And by the way, if you go back and you listen to the radio then, and that was like 09 into 10.
Yeah, I was excited.
Year one of 106.7. People were excited. But you would hear dialogue that it was rock bottom. This is the most embarrassing it's ever been. This is the worst that it's been. Because Jim Zorn was considered to be unprepared and unqualified. And they'd just run the swinging gate. And they'd lost that game to the Giants 45-12, I think the score was on national TV. Now, the Monday Night Massacre happened after that, and Shanahan getting blown out, and the Griffin injury, and the Cousins contract, and Trent Williams not wanting to show up, and Scott McLuhan coming and going, and all of the storylines that have happened since, and another, potentially, two coaches later, we know that it's worse. It always feels in the moment like this is the worst it's ever been. Who knows? 4 years from now, we can look back at this and say, man, those were the good old days, but when there were actually still season ticket holders. I mean, we're headed in that direction. But I don't think firing Jay Gruden, unless you were to hire Dabo Sweeney or Lincoln Riley or one of the biggest names in football at this point, would reinvigorate the fan base if Bruce Allen was still there. I really believe that the only way Redskins fans will feel any kind of positivity, the only way you can get them, right now they're laying on the couch flat, someone's talking to them in the kitchen, Danny, and they're going, mm-hmm, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was fine. My day was good, yeah. What do you want for dinner? Whatever. Like that, the Redskins fans are just chilling there. The only way you can actually get them to sit up like the Undertakers alive and walk into the kitchen to show some emotion and be a human being is to fire Bruce. But I think that's it.
You and I
Firing
know that.
Firing Jay doesn't do that.
You and I know that. I don't think they do.
I think Dan Snyder knows that.
I think he's too insulated to know that. Because if that's what a reasonable person would realize and think. A reasonable person also wouldn't have gone through any of the things that we've gone through for 15 years, 16
years. See,
here's
the difference. I think he knows more than you think he does. He pays more attention than you think he does.
Okay.
I think his general default setting is bleep them. What do they know? I don't think it's that he's worried about appeasing the fans. I think his general, like the last couple of years, he knows how much they hate Bruce. He knows about the trending hashtags to fire him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he goes, they're just fans. They don't know anything.
Right.
They'll be here. All we got to do is win. Wait till they see this Haskins kid. Wait till they see how good he is. Wait till they see me sign Landon Collins.
And so when Haskins isn't good, which, again, is what we're trending towards, by the way, as a rookie, they'll blame Jay Gruden. I mean, I think whether he knows or doesn't know, he still behaves in a way that any reasonable person would evaluate the situation and in 2 seconds go, well, this clown shoe needs to be fired immediately. This toxic boob has to be gone.
Buddy, though.
But I know.
It's all that's ever mattered to him. Are you one of the guys that he wants to call up and drink with after the game?
Yeah.
Do you get into that small circle?
Uh-huh.
If you're in that circle, if you're getting an invite onto his yacht when he goes to Italy or wherever the hell he's going next.
We're going to Greece.
Are you that guy? And if you're that guy, you're made for life. You can have a 20-year job. If you're in the circle, that's all that really matters. To be in that circle, what do you got to do? You got to say what he wants to hear. You got to play the game. You got to basically, you got to be a yes man. Bruce has decided that's his way. That's how he's going to stick. I just happen to believe my answer to this question is what has to happen for the end of Bruce?
Uh-huh.
You give us your succinct answer in a moment. 800-636-1067. I think we're here. I think he's out at the end of the year. I think it's over.
Mm.
I think they're moving on from Bruce Allen. I think what had to happen was what is happening by way of the attendance, wait till December, and the TV ratings. I do not think he survives this season. I think it was going to take the kind of year they haven't had because Jay Gruden's been too successful a coach, to be honest, where they go 3-13 and the bottom falls out and they blow everybody out. And I think that's what's coming. They'll keep some of the guys that are smart. Kyle Smith, Eric Schaefer, they'll find ways to navigate some coaches and maybe keep a guy like Kevin O'Connell.
Uh-huh.
But those are just kind of the window dressing things. I think Bruce is either just on stadium only and they have a new front office structure. Coaching staff is led by a new head coach who hires new coordinators. I really believe that we've reached the end of the road for Bruce Allen.
I think they're a couple moves away. I think when Dan Snyder has no other recourse, no one else that can get blamed, no one else when they go into CYA mode when things get bad. This year, the scapegoat's Jay Gruden. He's been set up to be the scapegoat since Jump Street. He is going to be the guy that they blame for all of this when it doesn't go right. And even though it's on Bruce, and you and I both know that, they'll still have one more move left. I think Bruce survives again.
What has to happen for Bruce to be done in Washington? That is the question. How bad does it have to get? I think we're headed there. I think it's a kind of 3-13, 4-12 year that ends in embarrassment and with a new coaching search that'll be run by somebody else. What about you guys? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think you have to, you can't control the game from the GM's chair. I don't care who Dan Snyder decides to hire as a GM. The game has to be run through the head coach's chair. Now, the general manager has to do a great job of supporting the culture, adhering to the culture, and finding players that fit the culture. But you can't have a subcontractor mentality where the head coach has to sit there and listen to the GM tell him what players draft this guy. I mean, it's just dysfunctional. And as Bill Walsh said to me in 1984, we're really only competing against 8 teams. And the Redskins really, under this regime, under Dan Snyder's ownership, are truly one of those teams that Walsh was referring to. They'll never get it straight because they don't understand culture. They don't understand what it takes to build a winning organization. They think it's if we get a quarterback or if we get a better coach. No. You guys can fire Jay Gruden all you want. You can send everybody home today. Nothing's going to change in Washington until they change the culture.
Michael Lombardi, as heard on Grant and Danny yesterday. We will be giving away Nats tickets before the top of the hour next segment. Still got to do NFL power rankings ideally before one, but we could push it if the calls are hopping. It looks like they are. 800-636-1067. Remember Joe Theismann, Redskins legend, in 22 minutes. What has to happen for Bruce Allen to be done in Washington? I think the writing is on the wall. I actually think that they are making major overhauls at the end of the season. I believe they are going to have the type of year where the floor caves in under them and everything around Dan Snyder changes. I don't mean that he changes or that they start winning. I just mean there's another person that isn't Bruce Allen running everything starting next year, hiring a new head coach. That's the way I'm seeing this going. And Jay Gruden and a lot of people that are decent at their jobs, and some of them better than that, are going to be out. But they're going to have to cut this thing from the very top down if they're going to make any changes. You think Bruce survives this year.
Yep.
So then when is he out?
When Dan Snyder has no one else.
But what does that look like?
I'm explaining it. When there's no one else. Right now, the scapegoat is Gruden. So he's gonna be the one to bear the brunt of this. Last year was LaFamina. Year before,
but
it was
Scott
McLuhan.
But you could always fire another coach, I guess, is my issue with that theory.
In year one, I suppose. But when nothing else is set up and there's nothing else to do, it was only by that he fired Serrato. It wasn't because he didn't think Vinny could do the job anymore.
All right, but let me go back to this point here. You're saying when there's nothing else to do. So I'm looking for the example of when that is. So the new head coach, let's say, comes in, and that would be, do they promote O'Connell? I'm looking for a realistic thing. Let's say it's Mike McCarthy.
Sure, whoever it is.
They hire Mike McCarthy.
Signed to a multi-year deal.
He goes 5-11 in year one. Is it after 5-11 you fire Bruce?
Because, yes.
Okay, so then next year after the new head coach has a bad year.
I don't know why this. I'm saying something that's complicated. When there's no other scapegoat. Because that's what they do over there. When things go bad, they look for someone to blame. And that person gets blamed, and now it's going to be different.
You can always pick a scapegoat, is my point.
But he's got to be high profile enough. And now you've got, like, you're not going to fire an assistant coach and say that you're done.
It couldn't be Haskins.
They fire someone every year.
Haskins plays half of this year, plays next year poorly. They go 5-11. Why couldn't they go, it's the quarterback, and do something else? If it's just about finding an scapegoat.
We're not firing a quarterback. You'll fire someone in a high enough position to make you think that a massive sea change is happening, and then it doesn't. So Gruden's this year's guy. He's been set up to fail, been set up to twist in the wind, set up to look like he's incompetent, overmatched, and he can't do it. They haven't given him any help. They haven't helped him in any kind of way to develop this year's team. They've got all the salary cap issues. They got the holdout. They got Alex Smith's injury. But it's going to be Gruden's fault. So they'll
Bruce
do that.
Bruce would be next year's guy. 2019 on Jay Gruden, 2020 on Bruce Allen.
My guess is it would be Bruce, but they might find someone else, honestly. They might find another guy.
That's what I say. If it's just about finding scapegoats, they'll always be able to find
one. It's when there's no easy alternative to fire. So Vinny got canned when it was Zorn, and they're going to fire Zorn too, but everyone knew that wasn't high profile enough. You finally had to move on from Vinny. And it probably killed Dan Snyder to do that.
And I think everything you just said, put Bruce in there. You had to move on from Bruce. They fired the coach and the president at the same time. The president came in and hired the new coach. That's kind of what I'm banking on this year. Let's go to Cordell in D.C. on Grant and Danny. When do you think and how do you think it'll happen that Dan Snyder has an epiphany that Bruce Allen's not the guy?
Man, that is the million-dollar question, honestly, because has he not done enough to this point? But that's honestly, that's neither here nor there. To answer you, I think he's gone at the end of the year the way it's going right now. We're at the bottom of the league. We're 0-3. We're now looking like the worst team, worse than the Giants right now. The Giants were supposed to be the winless team going into the game, and it's us. And not only is that the case, but it's just always something with this team with Bruce Allen here. And I understand it's been before Bruce Allen. That's why I agree with the guy that y'all been playing that's been saying using the word culture. But this team has no idea what that word means. If it was up to me, anybody with a parking spot at Redskins Park would be gone right now because you almost have to burn the place down to start from ground zero. But one last thing, my thing is this, when it comes to the quarterback situation, Haskins, it's so many people whose job is on the line. You've been talking about Jay Gruden and Bruce Allen. This is a guy who could save their job. And at this point, what do we have to lose? How can they explain to anybody to play Colt McCoy over Dwayne Haskins?
Well, he can only save their jobs if he plays well. And clearly Jay Gruden, who watches him every single day and has watched every throw he's made since he came into the league and has watched every throw he made in college and probably a lot of his throws at Bullis High School even, doesn't think he can do that right now. 800-636-1067 is the number. How bad does this year have to get for Bruce to be out at the end of the season? Or do you think, like Danny, he survives no matter what? G&D on the Fan. Nats fans, Max Scherzer on the show tomorrow on a Football Friday here on Grant and Danny. We'll ask him who he would start.
What quarterback would you go with?
No, I'm talking about the wild card playing game.
Oh, okay.
But if we want to ask him about the Redskins and quarterback situations, we could do that.
Can you imagine,
well,
by the way, if I did, I was like, Max, serious question for you. Who would you start between Colt and Case and Dwayne Haskins? Like, given all that's happened with the team?
A funny way to do it could be, hey, it's a big debate about who should start the game, and I know it's uncomfortable for you to answer it, but we've been talking about it a lot on the show, and there's a couple options here, obviously. Who are you going to start Sunday against the Giants? Keenum, Haskins, or McCoy?
He might actually turn into a dragon like Liu Kang and bite my head off. I mean, good Lord.
800-636-1067. I think Bruce Allen will be out at the end of the year. The question is, what's it going to take for Dan Snyder to say he's not the guy? I think the season that sets you back a couple of years that they've avoided. They have coached well enough and played well enough to win around 7 or 8 games a season for the last several years. They have not had the year that Dan Snyder can't abide, where you are 4-12 or 3-13 and no one's coming to the stadium. The last time they had one of those years, they did fire the guy that was running the front office, and they did fire their head coach, and they made a major change. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on Grant and Danny.
Hey.
What's up, Kevin?
Grant and Danny, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Wonderful, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you, Grant, but just with a little nuance, and I think it's the most important question we as Skins fans have to ask ourselves. What is it going to take to move on from Bruce Allen? Because I think we all know, as Lombardi has been saying, that we will win nothing as long as he's in power. So I thought there's at least two things. He has to not be close. That gets to your point, Grant, that, you know, I think we need a historically bad year. I'm thinking we might need 2 or 1 wins, not even 3. I think we have to have a historically bad year where the bottom falls out. And I also think we have to start losing off the field in ways that Dan can't abide. And I think that's happening with the low ratings, with, you know, FedEx Field being a neutral site or worse. But I guess what I think would be sort of the thing that pushes this through and gets us to a new decision maker working with Dan in the winter, there has to be some setback with the stadium situation. I mean, it's all been bad, but I'm just wondering what that could be.
Yeah, something bigger with the stadium. I think that that's a really good, smart answer. I think there's a chance he stays in the organization and basically just is the stadium guy to play the political game with all the parties. But I don't really see any way forward unless they get on track this year and Jay Gruden keeps his job that Bruce Allen does. But I love the G&D on brand there, losing off the field term.
Indeed.
That's the stuff, really, that results in the changes. Dan's lost a lot of football games as an owner. Snyder,
yeah.
It's the empty seats. It's the nationally televised games like the one the other night where the ratings in D.C. are down that really chap him pretty good. Mike and Reston, you're on G&D on the Fan. How are you?
Good. Love the show, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
I think it has to get to the point where Dan can no longer justify it in his mind, and I don't think we're there yet. I don't think Snyder has a lot of friends, and he's loyal to a fault to the people he considers his friends. We saw it with Vinny. We're seeing it now with Bruce. I think in his mind, I'm doing a great job. Bruce never does media. After the draft, when their draft got a high grade across the board, he was all over the television.
Oh, he couldn't wait to talk about himself, yeah.
He couldn't wait. I think in his mind, they're doing a good job. It's Jay's fault. It's the coaching staff's fault. Jay does not buy into their vision. So they're going to find somebody who does.
So this is kind of the Danny theory that you were speculating on a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. which would be that right now, behind the scenes, Snyder and Allen in lockstep are snipping about Jay.
Yeah.
And they're going, we gave him a playoff roster. We're 0-3, which is very possible. I'm not ruling that out. The things that I've heard, the rumblings that the people that I talk to in the building say, are that there is a lot more frustration with Bruce Allen at the top, that there's a lot more of him being called in to answer questions, not just Jay Gruden. But, look, I get it. I mean, that's how this has gone for years with any of the coaches that have been here under Bruce Allen. Those two guys have been Michael and Scotty. They have been, let me think of a good
Batman and Robin.
No, I'm thinking of an obscure one. They have been Kelly and Justin.
Oh.
How about that?
Okay.
American Idol Season 1. Let's go to Tony in Long Island. Hey, Tony.
How we doing, guys?
Buddy.
Hey, listen, by the way, you got Joe Theismann coming on. When are we doing that golf?
We should do that golf.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. I know I didn't call you all summer, but I'm open to it.
Okay. I'm all in, and every time all you right. come on, I still want Mike's on to be played, but otherwise, I'm all in.
All right, listen, I hate to say this to you guys, but you're totally misguided on this. This has nothing to do with Bruce Allen, and kudos to Dan Snyder for pulling this off for all these years. You know, the white cell blood count of this franchise is through the roof. We are disease-riddled through the bloodstream, and it's all from Dan Snyder. And changing Bruce Allen is just giving this franchise a haircut or a new T-shirt, okay? We're going to be the same franchise forever. As long as that guy is running this team, we have no chance. Let me give you an example, okay? Do you know how, like, the Mafia, they work with an operation called a front boss? Do you know what a front boss is?
No.
Okay, a front boss is a guy who looks like the boss, he acts like the boss,
oh.
He has boss powers, but he's not the boss.
He's a patsy.
They make the FBI think he's the boss. Bruce Allen is a front boss. Vinny Serrato is a front boss.
Love it.
The real boss is that hobbit that's running the franchise.
I love it, Tony.
I agree that Dan Snyder is a bigger problem.
Of course.
Than Bruce Allen. Just like I think Bruce Allen's a bigger problem than Jay Gruden.
Of course.
We're going up the ladder here.
Yeah. I'm going to get as close as I get to the real thing.
Anywhere.
Of course.
So my point to Tony and to everyone who says that is as simple as, what can I do? What do you want me to do? Dan Snyder's not selling the team. Dan Snyder's not moving
it's his whole life,
to another
man.
Venture. This is it.
This is
what he's doing, and he's going to probably outlive me.
And so the reason I argue for it, though, and I know I understand Tony's point.
All I can focus is what I can focus.
And I get Tony's point about nothing really changes, because that's the toxic thing, right? That's the disease that you can't cut out of the body. It would represent something of a sea change, though, if you're able to actually say, hey, best buddy, old pal, my guy that we go on Redskins 1 and pummel liquor together and decide the fate of this organization, you're out of here. You're gone.
Sure, and I'll add to that.
It would represent, and I'm not saying he's all the way reformed and he figures it out, but it would be better. It would be an improvement. All I'm asking for is an improvement.
So I would add one thing to that, because I agree with what you're saying. The other thing, though, is if the person that Dan is talking to every day is a good football person, I'll take my chances at being better. The guy that is running the football operation right now, that Dan dictates to,
yes,
doesn't know football that well.
Right.
Doesn't pick players well. Doesn't scout. He's never really done it. So if that person, not Bruce Allen, but was pick your guy, and everyone always over talks about Louis Riddick or whoever the latest person they saw talk on ESPN was, whoever you want to hire that you think knows football, I think you're better if your highest ranking football executive is a football person.
Yep.
Bruce Allen's not that, period. So is Dan Snyder the problem? Yes. But if every day when he sat down in his little office and he rubbed his fingers together and goes, what am I going to do today? If the guy sitting across from him was a good football person, I'll take my chances at winning a few more games from time to time. And that's kind of where I sit on all this. Joe Theismann knows a thing or two about football. He joins us next. When will we see Dwayne Haskins? Is Case Keenum going to play on Sunday? And how does Colt McCoy figure in all this?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.